Unemployment, worse than expected, but slowing down some.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon in for Bill Radke. There's a jumble of unemployment numbers out from the government at this hour. Let's see if we can make some sense out of them. The Labor Department reports employers cut a larger-than-expected 467,000 jobs last month. That drove the unemployment rate up to a 26-year high of 9.5%. On the other hand, the government says the number of newly laid-off workers filing for unemployment insurance dropped by 16,000 last week, and that's a sign that job cuts may be easing. Another encouraging sign, the number of Americans staying on the unemployment rolls after collecting an initial week of aid also fell. Joining us live now is Hugh Johnson. He's Chief Investment Officer at Johnson Illington Advisors. Hugh, unemployment is never good news, but is this, as they say, less worse than it has been?
Yeah, it really is. Obviously, it's worse than expected, as you suggested, but it's not as bad, or the number of job losses in the month of June is not as bad as we saw back in the first quarter when we were losing, you know, well over 600,000 jobs a month. So it's bad news, obviously, that we continue to shed jobs in the economy, but we're not shedding them at the pace that we did in the first quarter. So from that point of view, you're absolutely right. It's less worse.
Are there any surprises at all here? We've been hearing that the road to recovery is going to be bumpy, so employers are undoubtedly doing their hiring and firing on the fly, right?
Yeah, they're doing their hiring and firing on the fly, and there's not much that's good news when you lose 467,000 jobs. Of course, I think we know the reasons. It's concentrated or focused a lot in the automobile sector, where Chrysler and General Motors had significant plant shutdowns. So that's one of the big reasons. But, you know, quite frankly, when you look at the numbers, it's pretty widespread. So continued job losses, but not as many job losses as before. And hopefully we continue that trend towards, job losses, but not as severe as we saw in the first quarter.
Okay. Hugh Johnson is the Chief Investment Officer at Johnson Illington Advisors. Thanks for your insights.
You're welcome.
So the unemployment rate could be a lot worse, and in fact, it appears to be headed that way overseas. The European Union issued its jobless numbers this morning, too, and they've hit a 10-year high. The unemployment rate across the EU's 16 member countries is just about where it is in the U.S. for now. Here's Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London.
These figures are bad enough, but many economists expect them to get much worse. That's due to what's happening in the Eurozone's largest economy, Germany. So far, the worst effects of the deep recession there have been cushioned. Rather than lay off large numbers of staff, German exporting companies have kept them on, working a shorter week, often with government subsidy. But, says Simon Tilford of the Centre for European Reform, that's unlikely to last.
We're not going to see a rapid bounce back in world trade and in German exports. Hence, German companies are going to start laying off workers in large numbers over the next 6 months.
And that, he says, will drag the Eurozone unemployment rate much higher. He expects it to hit more than 11% by the end of next year. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Well, European investors are already registering their sentiments on the jobless numbers. It's not good. Britain's FTSE and France's CAC 40 both lower by 1.5% at this hour. And the DAX in Germany, where, as you heard, unemployment is a very big concern, has dropped more than 2%. Asian markets ended mostly lower today, and that's the backdrop for Wall Street as it prepares to wrap up its holiday-shortened week.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. And by Superbrands, Brandweek's annual ranking of America's top 2,000 brands. You can Google Brandweek Superbrands for more information.
Cities across the country are suing online travel companies, claiming the web-based firms are shortchanging them out of tens of millions of dollars in hotel taxes. The stakes are high, especially for cities like San Antonio and Fort Lauderdale that bank heavily on tourist dollars. Danielle Carson reports.
Say you book a hotel room for $100 on a website like Orbitz or Expedia. You pay the hotel tax on that. But the website pays taxes on a discounted price it negotiated with the hotel, say $80. It pockets the difference between the tax you paid and the tax it paid and considers it a service fee. But some 40 cities don't see it that way.
Governments throughout the United States have been cheated by online travel companies.
That's Stephen Wolins, a lawyer who represents several cities and counties. He says hotel operators are required to pay taxes on the full retail price of the room. And while the online agencies aren't putting mints on the pillows, they're doing everything else.
The online travel company is the only entity completing the entire reservation process. They are charging consumers not only the rate for the room, but the taxes for the room.
But Brian Stagner, a lawyer with Travelocity, says several courts disagree.
Online travel companies simply don't own operator control hotel rooms. Five federal courts out there said that. We're not hotel operators and that we're not liable for local occupancy tax.
The online travel firms are building their defense on another front. Stagner says most hotel tax laws were written before the internet, so localities are, in effect, trying to impose a new tax on web-based companies.
These are Flintstone ordinances that the cities are trying to apply to a Jetson world.
So Los Angeles Times consumer reporter David Lazarus says the solution is rewrite the tax laws.
There are going to have to be some new laws that clearly define that anyone who is selling the room is responsible for the whole nut as opposed to paying taxes simply on the wholesale value of the room. And that's one of the things that's going to have to be addressed here.
For cash-strapped cities, the lawsuits offer a way to make a nice chunk of change. In February, Anaheim, the home of Disneyland, won the first round in a lawsuit which ordered online travel sites to pay $21 million in back taxes for the past 8 years. The websites are challenging that ruling. I'm Danielle Carson for Marketplace.
Finally this morning, if you typed in the JayLenoShow.com over the past 5 years, you would have been redirected to a real estate business outside Houston. Don't ask me why, but the guy who registered that internet domain name has to give it up. The real Jay Leno fought for the rights all the way to the UN's World Intellectual Property Organization. Leno's new primetime show is premiering in September. We welcome your thoughts at marketplace.org. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. Thanks very much for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.